Welcome back to Copper Country Today. I'm your host, Rick Allen. And coming up just in a few days here, we have the International Frisbee Tournament held in Calumet. It is part of the Guts Frisbee sport. It is certainly something we're proud of here in the Copper Country. And joining me to talk about in the studio right now is Dennis Wallikainen and Jeff Boss from International Frisbee, Inc. Welcome, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Thanks for having us.
This has got to be a busy time of year, I'm sure.
Yeah, we've been going crazy for a while. Yeah. A few meetings here and there.
We're all taking vacation this week.
Yeah, we actually are.
How's it looking so far?
Great.
For teams and participation.
Yeah, we think we'll have everybody back from London. So that's team one and two that are over there, hopefully dominating by the time this airs that they finish first and second. But, yeah, we think we'll have at least a good part of the Appleton Assassins, Boomtown Saints, the local Luigi's team, and the other local youngsters who made up the team get a life last couple of years. Three representatives, Will Blau, Stephen Dudenis, and Al Nettle on Team USA 2 will be back playing for somebody, probably together and possibly with their teammates from Team 2.
Go ahead and give me the dates and location for the IFT, because people are going to want to know that.
July 9th and 10th in the metropolis of Calumet at Agassiz Field, where it's been for the last 5 years.
And traditionally, you know, right there around 4th of July, now it's the weekend immediately following, which is a good thing. I actually like that change.
Yeah, we've moved it. It's been mixed reviews. Some people love it, some people hate it, but I think it's better for all of us.
It's better for the motels, too. We had instant good response from them because they're already busy on the fourth weekend. So we've kind of given them now a second weekend, especially up on the north end where they can get some people into town, the cabins and the motels up that way.
Well, let's start with the guys that are over in London. And since that's such big news for this year, it's so unique to have this happening with people playing on Team USA 1 and 2. What's going on over there?
Yeah, the latest we heard is Team 1 is still undefeated, and they'll be playing today. This would be of day three of the World Ultimate and Guts Frisbee Championships. There are eight teams total, and the first team, is, like I said, is undefeated. The second team has one loss now, a close game with Japan, and Japan only has one team. Germany has two teams, and then the U.S. has two teams. So, yeah, the local boys are playing well. That's Al Nettle, Steve Dudenis, and Will Blau. Will just texted me last night and just said, yeah, we're playing well, we're having fun, and the team's playing really, really well. They're very happy.
So they've played about six games apiece. How many games do they play, do you know?
They have a long round robin. It's like 10 or 11 games, and then they'll seed it for the bracket play. It's pretty extensive. They're playing every day. Just about up through this week, they take a day or two off, and then they finish up over the weekend with bracket play.
Now, I was a little surprised to learn, since you know we're so proud of that the sport was invented in this area. I thought it would be like all the best players are from here. So they have a lot of, you know, I guess that speaks to how popular the sport is throughout the country and throughout the world, of how many great players there are in other locations.
Yeah, it's huge. It just there's video up that I was just watching of Japan 1 versus USA 1, and they've got some really hard throwers and great defensive players, and then we heard that this wasn't necessarily even their starting lineup. So we have in Team USA 1, we think one of probably the best team ever assembled, and Japan looks to be every bit as good. So yeah, it's widespread. We heard also Great Britain is supposed to be really good, some really fast left-handed backhands, and Germany looks tough. Especially their team one, and then Belgium is getting rave reviews for great spirit of the game. I guess those guys are really having a fun time over there.
Hopefully we can get them for the 60th.
Yeah, we're working on them all. Thanks for bringing that up, Jeff. We have little mini discs that we sent over, and the official 60th IFT professional frisbees we sent over a bunch for our three local guys. We'll be handing them out over there and really telling them to guys come on over, because it's going to be a full week of frisbee activities next year.
Yes, believe it or not, Frisbee guys are planning ahead.
Another first.
Yes.
It's evolving. I wonder if, and you have to ask these guys when they get back maybe, but when they talk to Guts players from other players, or other places, I mean, are they familiar with the history of the story? Do they know it comes back? Do they have that connection the way that we do? You know, just wondering just how famous we are up here as far as
in the You know, sport. It's one of those things, history always seems to be forgotten, and no no matter where it came from. So they might have a little glimpse of it, and hopefully our young guys are teaching them a little bit.
And we know Japan does because they've been here a couple of times. And China, who has won the – actually, Taiwan has won the WUGC a couple of times in the 90s. They've kind of fallen off. But they've had a couple of representatives here in the last couple of years. Paul Liu actually won the John Davis Spirit of Guts Award 2 years ago. Yep. And so he – you know, they know, and then that's part of the mission for the youngsters from up here is to spread the word, to tell them, come on back where it was all born, especially that we're going to have something in Eagle Harbor next year. So we think that'll draw a lot of people, and we think a lot of locals that used to play, we'll get them to come out of the woodwork and toss it one more time.
I really enjoyed coming to your Keweenaw Guts Day and seeing the different players and seeing people try it out and some of the teenage players that were there. And you even had a teenage girl in, you know, out there throwing the disc and learning the sport. And I talked to her for a little bit after, and she thought it was something great that her and her friends should be doing. And she, you know, had done a little bit of it. You know, our kids are pretty active here, in the Copper Country. And so I think it makes a great sport for them to be doing, and she thought so too.
Yeah, there's a natural connection, actually, with hockey. We've had many hockey players over the years that have played Guts, especially goalies, for obvious reasons. But, yeah, you know, it's intense. You know, it's short burst of speed. It's physical. It hurts. You know, it's got a violent aspect to it, if you will. But, hockey and baseball, both, we've had great success. Al Nettle, who we were just talking about, is a great baseball player and comes from a family full of great baseball mm-hmm. players. And Stephen Dudenis plays baseball. Will Blau plays basketball and other sports. So there's, you know, we've always had a pretty good connection with other sports that are big locally, yeah.
When we build the sport up, when we talk about it, and we talk about just how intense it is and how physical it is, and you know how it can rip your fingers off, you know, trying to catch the frisbee. I'm just kidding, but it's also you know, when we talk about that, we're talking about the players who are the best in the game, and if we were compared it to like say baseball, I could probably play baseball. Now it doesn't mean I'm going to be able to play baseball with Miguel Cabrera and Kinsler and the like, but with groups of guys like myself, I can play and we can all still have a great time. So I think that you know those people who maybe hear some of the stories that we're going to be talking about, some great Guts memories here in a bit, and be like, oh well, I can't throw that frisbee that hard or you know, lay out, you know, that much for catches and stuff. But it doesn't mean that you have to be. We're talking about some of the best players. This is a sport that really anybody could play. And if you got enough guys, you can play it in the backyard of your house.
Absolutely. We did start as a family picnic 59 years ago.
Yeah, and I remember back, this is before your time, Jeff, back in the 70s where you would see little games of 3-on-3 or 4-on-4 or 5-on-5 in front of Old Main on the Finlandia University campus. You'd see it down in Dollar Bay at the park right downtown. You'd see it out at the Breakers, actually, where the Breakers local team got their name from playing out at the Breakers, literally. The Houghton guys, and so there were always little spots like that. And in addition to Harrelson Field up at the corner of 41 and Red Jacket, so there was always little pickup games everywhere. And I even played in a little a three-team tournament up at Lake Manganese, maybe 1975, I believe, maybe 74. It was just Diamond Mike's, Al's Halfway, in the library, and we, you know, we played literally on the beach. Had a fun time. Had a barbecue. And just played off, you know, kind of a round robin thing to play that down, and that it's got that great beach vibe to it. You know, it's just a fun sport to play. You don't have to play ultra competitively. Pace off 15 yards, and just throw it at the other guy, see if you can get it past him, and let him come back at you. And when we do the high school demos, we always talk about the best part about Guts is you get to go throw back at the guy, right? So even if he beat you, you still get to throw back at him or her and try to beat him back.
Now, up in Calumet, you have a Hall of Fame that contains a lot of this history, and you know it's a big part of the sport and where you're going forward. Let's talk about that a little bit, since that will sort of set the stage when we talk about good stories.
Yeah, there's a lot of stories in that building, hockey and frisbee. So it actually started in 1978. WAMO, the maker of the Frisbee, and the International Frisbee Association, which Jeff is very familiar with, back in the glory days of Harvey J. Kuckuck and how the zaniness all began out of Eagle Harbor. So you had WAMO and IFA, and then the local, what at the time was called the Copper Country Chamber of Commerce, came up with the idea for the Hall of Fame. And then the first induction years were 78 and 80, and then they were actually recognized at the 25th IFT in Detroit, or in Hancock, in 1982. It was the silver anniversary, so they were all inducted. They had a big ceremony at the Memorial Union, and all the greats were here. Fred Morrison, inventor of the Frisbee, represented us from the Healy family that started the IFT in Guts. Stancil Johnson, I'm going to forget names here.
Steady Ed.
Steady Ed Hedrick, the father of disc golf.
Sky King.
Sky King, our mentor, the guy that we all look up to for the proper spirit of Guts, Goldie Norton, public relations genius.
John Davis.
John Davis, our own Jumbo John, rest in peace. Great tournament director and a PR whiz in his own right. Joe Cahill, the first woman inducted, great overall player and Guts player for the humbly magnificent Champions of the Universe in Ann Arbor.
She was an ambassador for Frisbee for many, many years with the IFA and WAMO.
Yeah, she actually worked for WAMO out there for years. Dan Roddick, also known as the Stork, worked for WAMO. He was a PR guy out there, too, and really helped all different kinds of Frisbee tournaments
and get Kirkland, who started it all.
Yeah. Jeff is taking a jab at the notorious John Kirkland, who was very, very talented. He did play some Guts, too.
And he let people know.
Yeah, and he would tell you how good he was, and I think we cured him of Guts. That's a long story. Him and Victor, but Victor Malafrani, the first great sidearm, just a fantastic thrower, distance thrower, freestyler, would do freestyle exhibitions at the Harlem Globetrotter Games with John Kirkland. And this is the level of people that we have in the Hall of Fame, in addition to all these really great Guts players over the years. Beginning, locally, the name people all know is John Hodges and many of the great library guys, and all the different teams from the Cupola Bandits, Highland Avenue Aces, the other aces of the Air Aces of the Detroit area, and on and on and on. We've got about.
Let's not forget Buck.
And Buck Buchanan, our soul brother, our main man from Marquette, who also passed away sadly a couple of years ago. And ran tournaments for years down there. And we were joking the other day that Buck probably did more brackets for more tournaments than anyone else, because he'd always go there and he'd always help out. And a good player in his own right, had fantastic hands and a great strategist, and played for many years with the Cupola
Bandits. True love for the game.
Yeah, yeah.
Just that flying disc, he really loved that thing.
Yeah, he was a great player and strategist for Cupola Bandits and, of course, Queen City Flyers. Actually, one of our great rivals, when back in the old Paul's Bar days, we had a few good matches with the Queen City Flyers.
I'm loving the different nicknames that you guys have been throwing out there for different people, and I don't know how much of people have caught, but the Sky King and the Stork.
Yeah, yeah. There's a great story behind. Well, Sky King will tell you that back in the day it was. You wouldn't use your real name just because you didn't want to be associated with this crazy sport. So everybody came up with nicknames, And if you weren't anybody unless you had a nickname, which is kind of a Copper Country tradition too, actually. But so he was Sky King because he was a pilot for Eastern Airlines, and as his son is now for I don't know who, Delta maybe. Anyway. There's every plaque just about, at least the initial couple of classes up there. Every plaque that you'll see up at the Hall of Fame. Has a nickname attached to it.
Speaking of names, you were also running down names, and these are names people know of because there are things around town that are named after them. You mentioned John Davis and John Hodges. That's right. Yep. Names that I'm familiar with because it's like, oh, well, there's the Memorial Fireworks and different names that are familiar to people that you're familiar with the name, but. Among other things, they were also great Guts players.
Yeah, definitely. An example is Harrelson Field. It's the action spot. People have known it for years, but a bunch of local players got together and decided we should name it after our great soul brother, Dwayne Harrelson, who played for Paul's Bar and any other local team that needed somebody to fill in. Dwayne would jump on the team, and they'd go all over the Midwest playing Guts. And there are so many great local players over the years. I always claim that we have more ex-Guts players in the Copper Country than anywhere else on earth. I'm sure, I'm positive of it. I can remember seeing 4 5-on-5 games at one time up at the Harrelson Field, and there were guys waiting to get in. So you can imagine, you know, that's 40-plus players just at a practice back in the late 70s, early 80s.
The Knockazell Cup. You were saying that there was an update recently, Jeff.
Oh, yes. The cup almost got stolen over the weekend.
It was scary.
It was. The grandson of Julius T. Knockazell, who was the guy who started the ROTC program, is also the mayor of Houghton at one time, is our big trophy for the IFT, is named after him. But his grandson happened to come up to visit to the Copper Country and called Dennis and wanted to see, you know, his kind of father or his grandfather's legacy. And so we went and showed it to him, and then he tried stealing it with his wife.
Yeah. So we caught him red-handed. We have pictures, and we're going to post those soon. So, yeah, lucky we were there with Pete Riley. It was in Pete's garage. Actually, in Rambletown. Many of your listeners will know Rambletown from another great old Frisbee team, the CNR Losers, Calumet and Rambletown Losers of the early 70s, who won the Toronto tournament 3 years in a row. Frank Kirby, another great local player from back in the day, and actually Victor Malafrani played on his team one time. But it was scary, but we were able to wrestle the cup back. So we will have the cup. The cup will be in town for the 59th IFT, July 9 and 10.
It was really nice having him here because we got to share stories, some of the legacy and rumors that he knew about the cup, and we got to talk about what we knew. And It was really kind of fun. He did know quite a bit about it.
Yeah, well, because old hockey players can share stories about the Stanley Cup, but you guys have plenty of them that are associated with the Knockazell Cup, too,
yes,
over the years.
Yes.
Some of them we could tell, some of them we can't.
Exactly.
That's exactly right. There's one that, actually, this would be back in the early 80s. Cupola had won it, and one of the Cupola Bandits etched in, the Cupola logo was a lightning bolt. And one of them actually etched that into the cup somewhere. It's still on there. You have to look for it. So he was brought forward and publicly shamed in front of the entire IFT audience the next year. I won't name names, but it was really funny because everybody was really mad at him. Said, "You're etching into something this is history. You know, this is something with an emblem supposedly from the walking stick of Kaiser Wilhelm. You can't just go etching in your logo on it." So, and there's another great story that you can't drink from it unless you've won it. So there are people who actually have broken that rule, and they've never won it. So that you know, it's a jinx. If you do that, I'm sorry, you're never going to win it.
The IFT coming up here in just this coming up weekend. This is airing on Sunday and starts on next Saturday. So what are some things that people can look forward to this particular IFT?
We're just going to keep it pretty low-key this year. Like I said, we're kind of planning two tournaments right now. It's a little bit maddening for both of us, I'm sure. But we've got the 60th coming up, which is going to be much bigger to do. But this year for the 59th, you can expect a lot of great action, a lot of great teams, as always. We don't have anything planned for the hall because, well,
the off year.
It's an off year, and plus it's in construction.
It's
painted, and they're doing a bunch of work in there.
They're very busy. They're redoing the boards and everything too at the Coliseum, our home up in Calumet. And it's like we get a year off, and then next year we go even crazier. But we'll have registration Friday night. We'll be at the field, and it's free hot dogs, pop, and brats, and bring a dish to pass. If people did that last year, that was a lot of fun. We had some goodies that people had brought.
And really, that is open to just anybody in the public, not just players.
And that's turned into a real neat informal thing where you'll find those maybe first-timers out throwing the Frisbee around for the first time because it's right at Agassiz Field. The fields will be marked. You can see where we're going to play, and gorgeous facilities, obviously. Still the best fields on the Frisbee circuit, and so that's just a neat thing. It's a little Friday night tradition for us, and then afterwards players and fans are encouraged to go and hit the local establishments, make the rounds in Calumet, Houghton, and Hancock, and let them know you're in town for Frisbee.
For those that you know looking for something to do that weekend, I know there's very few weekends, there's not a lot going on in the Copper Country, but you know, I've gotten involved in your IFT here for, let's be now, 5 years in a row, and you know, it started as something I had to go to because, you know, to cover, to be part of it for work. And I said, this thing is terrific. This is a great way to spend the weekend with the family So now we bring a canopy, we set up a table, we set up, you know, our chairs, bring the radio, bring the dog, bring the cooler. And it's kind of like, okay, we want to know where to find us for the weekend. We're going to be at Agassiz Field. And it's, you know, we see the same people, you know, from the different teams, plus new people we meet all the time. For a family, it's almost like a getaway, just to go and just have fun, eat hot dogs, you know, drink some beverages out of the cooler and relax. It's really a great time. So I encourage people to get out there and try that, because I bet it would become a tradition. And the more people you have sort of lining the sidelines like that and cheering people on, the more energy and better time for everybody.
Yeah, I completely agree. I mean, I've looked forward to this event every year just for that same reason. You get to see people that you see once a year, but it seems like you become really good friends for the weekend, you know?
And yeah, the players really appreciate you that you're there. It's a really good point. You know, they do feed off the vibe that the crowd gives them. And that's how this thing grew to be so big, that it was just this two-day festival, if you will, you know, that grew and because it was just fun to hang out, you know. I had people tell me, you know, back in the day, you know, we really like watching you play, Wally, but, you know, we were there for a lot of other fun events too, and, you know, we were almost a sideline to the fun happening, and that's okay. And as long as you get them in the door and you get a hot dog or a brat or even a Tony's pasty, by the way, from your CLK school's concession there at Agassiz Field, it's just a neat thing to come and watch. And again, these are, you know, you'll see guys throwing. We were talking about Team USA 2 earlier. Cam Verrigan from Marquette came up for a Kuna Guts Day, and we clocked him at 81 miles an hour, and he wasn't even fully warmed up. So you're going to see some of the fastest throws in the world. These guys are throwing absolute smoke, including our local guys. Al Nettle, Will Blau, Steve DeDennis are throwing really hard. Carter Nettle has a great, great thumber throw. So, yeah, really fast, intense throws, and they can catch. You know, they can play great defense too. It's a neat place to sit. Even if you come for a couple hours each day, you're going to witness the best guts in the world.
You keep using terminology that if you come out, you'll understand a little bit what you mean by thumbing something, by thumbing the freezer.
Thumber, yeah,
You know, you'll catch on to that. It's not a difficult sport to understand, and there's a lot of people there. If you have questions, you can ask. You know, how come that wasn't a point? And it's like, okay, well, they explain. Well, that went too high, or
right.
You know, how it's judged, because you don't see a bunch of referees walking around either.
Yep.
You know, you have a couple of people who, you know, volunteer every now and then, but overall, there's, you know, you guys police this yourselves or referee these things yourselves, and I guess just ask if you don't really know.
Exactly.
Is there any cost to attending the
nope,
tournament?
Not at all. Nope. Just stop in, have fun.
In the few days leading up to it, is there anything else that you need?
Volunteers.
Yeah, always. If people always want to come volunteers. And help out, even just to spell the people that we have in the concessions working for registration and helping out in the concession stand, always we can use help. And stuff like running the scores back to the scorers table so we can keep track of stuff. Shagging frisbees when you see one loose helps out. Anything, you know, you show up to the our official tent right when you first walk into Agassiz Field, we'll find a job for you.
Oh, yeah.
And maybe we'll give you a couple of frisbees.
Yeah. Do you have merchandise there available for sale and that helps support your organization?
Always, especially these fetching t-shirts like I have last year's on right now with all our sponsors in the back.
T-shirts and frisbees?
T-shirts,
and
frisbees, a couple of
hats,
pint glasses.
I think we're almost out of those now.
Are we?
Yeah, almost.
We ordered a gazillion pint glasses.
Not the best investment, but
a couple of years ago, and we had them and still had them and had them, but they're very nice looking. It's etched glass.
Yeah. No surprises that the beer glasses go faster than anything else when it comes to Guts Frisbee players and stuff. But
yes.
Fits right in.
Any last things that you have to fit in before next weekend?
Yeah, just catch up with stuff, making sure the fields will set. The tents will be there, thanks to Dave Slavik and
always
the gang.
Use help setting fields up.
Yeah, actually, the fields will go up Thursday afternoon. Anybody, if you're driving around the Calumet area, stop over Friday afternoon. Thursday or Friday.
Yeah.
One or the other.
Decide, yes.
It's, you can check Wally at internationalfrisbee.com or Jeff at internationalfrisbee.com, and we'll tell you where when to be there and where to be. And it's one other neat thing we're trying to do this year too is just we've got that Grace Disc Golf Course now over at Calumet Lake, and we want to send players after they register. We're going to have them go over and try to play 18 holes with professional frisbees. None of that disc golf stuff. We're going to have them use real guts frisbees.
You know, these light plastic things.
That can hardly see how well they do with that. And it'll just be a fun thing. It'll be informal. They can go over and throw, check out the lake, the course.
They're probably a scramble.
Yeah. Yeah, they could do that. Whatever they want, just come back and report in. And it's again another tie-in that we know that guts fits in perfectly with golf. We used to play the IFT originally was ball golf on Sunday after guts on Saturday, so it was it had that connection going to it.
And the founder of disc golf himself has been to the IFT many times. He's also in the Hall of Fame. Yep. As well.
Well, it's definitely a great time. Again, I encourage everybody to head out there Saturday and Sunday at Agassiz Field coming up this coming weekend and join in on the IFT. Dennis and Jeff, thank you for coming on the program.
Thanks, Rick.
Copper Crunchy Today, we'll be right back.